this week, a bunch of news and a new perspective on Noah's Ark. Is the Ark a hidden place? Does it hold secrets? And is it actually a placeholder for something completely different? It's probably not a boat. Or is it? All this and more. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back to the show. This is episode number 565. In the news, just going to be heading down to Springfield, Illinois for the annual Grand Lodge Communications, the pilgrimage that happens once a year, where we handle all of our legislation for the state. Some new officers and great learning opportunities are happening down there. So while at the Grand Lodge Communications, which will be, most of us are heading down there Thursday, we'll be down there walking around Springfield, so maybe I'll see you. And then Friday, we're going to have all-day sessions starting in the morning all the way till the afternoon break for lunch. And then we'll be heading over to some of the different educational sessions that are happening, including one that is happening at the Illinois Lodge of Research, which I am very excited about. Illustrious Brother Brian L. Pettis will be there doing a special keynote presentation for us. Those meetings for the Illinois Lodge of Research, you do not have to be a member of ILOR to attend. You just have to be a Master Mason. So we highly encourage anybody and anyone who is, you know, interested in Masonic education to come to that meeting. It is going to be about being a Masonic educator. What's very important about that concept is that Masonic education is essentially the reason that the craft exists. It is also the key to retention. So a very important, if not the most important, meeting you can go to while at Grand Lodge Annual Communications outside of the annual sessions. Saturday is about a half a day of a schedule. Usually there's some good legislation and things happening. I imagine they'll go the full day. There is a lot of legislation happening, so there'll be some discussion on Saturday. After sessions packs up, most of us will head on home on the train back up to Union Station in Chicago. So that'll be really fun. Coming up on the 11th of October, I'll be doing something for the Kansas Lodge of Research, where I am working in the quarries alongside a few of my great brothers under the direction of Right Worshipful Brother Alex Powers, and working alongside a couple of great guys like Joe Martinez and Matt Parker and Darren Kellerman. Then on the 15th, it's going to be pretty rad, MasonicCon South, it's going to be happening. Not a whole lot of tickets left, so I would say if you're going to go to the conference, then you need to go ASAP and get your ticket. The TMR, the Masonic Roundtable, myself included, we will be there filming and doing our 400th episode there live. It's going to be an awesome time, and we're going to have some beverages and kick it and talk Freemasonry with lots of people. It's going to be awesome. So I want to see you guys all there. The other place that what we're doing, I've got kind of a mini Oklahoma tour happening, which was a total accident. I'll be presenting for a fall festive board at Edmund Lodge number 37. It'll be at the Will Rogers Room at the university there. The tickets can be found if you go to a link there on the WCY podcast presentation schedule. Click on more because it only shows you five dates at a time. And you'll see the top one, 1028 Fall Festive Board at Edmund Lodge, number 37. I'll be doing a presentation called Freemasonry, A History of Mystery. It's a very fun presentation. And then also the next day, I'll be at the Guthrie Scottish Rite Reunion. My first time ever going to Guthrie Scottish Rite. Really excited about that. And I'll be experiencing the degrees along with anybody else who is there. And of course, having some great fellowship with you. And at 3 o'clock at the Valley of Guthrie, I will also be presenting an educational piece called the Tetragrammaton. And that will be at 3 o'clock on the 29th. And then that evening, I will be at Veritas Lodge in Oklahoma, and I'll be doing a presentation called Apotheosis and Quantum Entanglement, which is a fun presentation that dives deep into the science of spirituality. And then, all the way out to November, we're going to be November 7th, I'll be at the Valley of Spartanburg, or into South Carolina, in the southern jurisdiction, doing a presentation on colonial Freemasonry and its impact on these United States. So lots of stuff coming up. It is a packed schedule. Busy, busy, busy. I appreciate everybody's patience while waiting for my email responses. But enough about that. I want to get into this week's education. We've got a couple great things for us. We're going to explore, and let's get into it right now. So this piece comes from the Universal Freemasonry website, and it's about the Masonic Noah's Ark, navigating a great deluge. Now, a couple of things to mention before we start. I have dug into this quite a bit in regards to the legend of Adam, the first man, and his transition across the flood on board the ark regarding just his bones. This comes from various different sources, the Book of Melchizedek, and also Masonic lore. However, there's much more to unpack on this topic if you have ever had the chance to check out Brother Jason Richards' presentation on the flood, Noahite Masonry, and it's just a rad presentation. So definitely check that out if you can, if you ever have a shot. It's an awesome presentation. But here we go. This is the Masonic Noah's Ark Navigating a Great Deluge, posted on the 30th of May, 2019 by Pamela McDown. During a recent commute back from a lodge meeting, as my car crawled along the road in horrendous torrential rain, I watched a gray heron stalk the banks of a flooding Arkansas river. The magnificent bird was a timely reminder that beauty and nature can be seen in the most devastating of circumstances. And yet, even for optimists like me, it is getting more difficult to feel encouraged about the future of our planet. Bleak news about climate change is nothing new, but in recent months there has been a deluge of it. Are we living in a pivotal moment that is of environmental and ecological importance? My thoughts turn to the ancient legend of Noah's Ark. Can it provide us any insight into the world today? The Masonic allegory tells of the rescue of Noah and his family, who were the progenitors of humanity, and survived the deluge which overtook the whole world. In the rituals, our thoughts are turned toward those great truths which were typified in the Great Flood. Brother Albert Mackey writes, quote, "The influence of Noah upon Masonic doctrine is to be traced to the almost universal belief of men in the events of the deluge." End quote. Brother Mackey claims that if we examine the ancient writers, there is plenty of evidence that at some remote period, a flood did really overwhelm the earth. However, what we know today is colored by each perceiver, whether it be the scientist, philosopher, religious scholar, or average person. There are several variants to the legend. The biblical version is the most famous and beloved tale told to children. Probably the most absurd account is a Chinese legend that tells of a great flood caused by an argument between a crab and a bird. Is the story more than a tale for toddlers? How is it important to a Freemason? The Masonic Ark Symbolism. Freemasonry itself teaches of three significant arcs of importance. One, Noah's Ark, which was built by Japhet, Ham, and Shem, and their co-workers under the oversight of Noah, by divine direction. Two, the Ark of the Covenant, also by divine command, constructed by Moses. And three, the substitute Ark, or the Ark of Zerubbabel. The word Ark, quote-unquote, is rooted in the Latin arca, which is a chest or coffer for storing valuables. The English word arcane has the same root, meaning hidden, concealed, and secret. So basically, an ark may be considered to be a box or a chest in which a valuable secret is contained, hidden, or concealed. The Ark is also akin to the Chaldean Arga, which means the womb of nature. In a lecture by Brother Rudolf Steiner, he suggests that the Ark is a metaphor for the womb of humanity. It symbolizes a receptacle wherein are preserved the seeds of a new birth. The ratio of the dimensions of the Noah's Ark, as given by the Bible, exactly correspond to the ratio of dimensions of the human physical form, 30:5-3, in length, width, and depth. God was specifying the physical dimensions of the ark to carry the consciousness of humankind into the post-diluvian stage. The ark also resembled a tomb. The Masonic lessons speak of the themes of death, rebirth, and resurrection. In this respect, every circumstance of distress takes on deeper meaning. Nothing is destroyed, utterly or finally. Ignorance is the precursor to truth. Death is the precursor to rebirth. To die is but the dissolution of a temporary form. The essence of a person is preserved to be the seed. of a future recreation of culture and civilization. Commander Noah, the lineage holder of the sacred laws of geometry, art, and science, was the keeper of the mysteries in the Ark. His mission was to pass on his knowledge to future mankind. Was he successful? Do these teachings apply today? The Sons of Noah. After the flood, the holders of the hidden mysteries of nature and science, according to the ancient legend, were named Noachida, or Sons of Noah. Everywhere they lived were known as magi, sages, philosophers, and wise men for their learning, which was a blessing to civilization. The mysteries were transmitted to each succeeding generation. Some of the most profound truths came from the lineage holders in Egypt. The Egyptians held that the divine power can be found at the heart of every person, even the lowest and noblest degraded. It was called the hidden light. Through that light, all people could always be reached and helped. It was the task of the keeper to find that illumination within himself and others, however unpromising, and to strengthen it. The initiate of today partakes of that radiance when he seeks the path which leads to the gateway of initiation, the portal to the secret temple of the Most High. The ultimate purpose is always to bring the hidden divinity into fuller manifestation. We are told that few may discover the treasures of the symbolic Ark, but we do know they are concealed within the mysterious and privileges of Freemasonry. A Mason's aim is to ignite the flame within and thus conquer the storms of his own nature. In this respect, he can truly become a son of Noah. The Ark reminds us both of the difficulties and dangers that we encounter and of the refuge which we may find from them. It is all part of a plan of evolution, a tracing board for humanity. We are but a little speck within the current of life, evolving and cooperating with the big scheme. The flood allegory teaches us to find perseverance in a right course of action, all dangers notwithstanding, and assures us that if we do so, all shall be well. We will weather every crisis and find ourselves, after all, in a sanctuary of peace and rest. In current times, what will be our deluge? In my opinion, the challenge of today, environmental or otherwise, offer all of us the chance to navigate through what very few generations in history had the privilege of knowing, a generational mission, to discover beauty in nature in the unlikeliest of circumstances. Amidst a great deluge, a well-built ship rides securely into a peaceful harbor. May we anchor our planet together in wisdom, strength, and beauty. Quote, "Man has acquired delusions of grandeur regarding his mind and has become arrogant in his new sense of power over the forces of nature. This could lead to complete destruction were it not for the few, comparatively, who know that man is a divine being and that his destiny is to cause that divine spark to grow into a mighty flame of spiritual illumination." Brother Walter Leslie Wilmshurst. So how interesting, we go from the casual children's story to a more interesting allegory, very Steiner-esque in its interpretation. Rudolf Steiner, probably we should do a whole episode on that dude. Pretty interesting guy. Big theosophist, loved theosophy, started the Anthroposophical Society, took so many people with him when he left. But in any case, great article. I loved the allusion to both the secret place, the idea of the sons of Noah being the people who have survived the global cataclysm. Really, you can think about this in such old terms, and I mean old, like take it beyond who Noah is. Take it all the way back, because as we know, Egypt already existed by the time Noah had been raised there, and so obviously Noah became an archetype for whatever the original character had been who assisted in the progeny of knowledge across the world, whether that is alluded to like in the books of Graham Hancock, the seven sages, the Apkallu, the seven liberal arts and sciences, the same exact number of the seven sisters, the angels who came down to teach Enoch. Is Enoch one of the archetypes of the same character that would comprise Noah, or Utnapishtim, I think, is the Babylonian version. Maybe it's Gilgamesh. No, I don't think it's Gilgamesh. I think it's Utnapishtim. Anyway, somebody will correct me. But very interesting, this whole idea of a transmission of knowledge, that the Ark might indeed represent some sort of hidden knowledge of the mind. You have to love allegory. It provides us such insight and great looks into complex subjects that otherwise would be much more difficult to unpack. That's it. I know it was a short show. I know you had to wait an extra 24 hours for it. I feel like maybe you feel like you're shortchanged. I do have to apologize. Lots of crazy stuff going on, lots of travel, and of course, getting ready for Grand Lodge. So I'm going to be reading on the next episode of the show that'll come out on the Sunday after Grand Lodge of Illinois. We're going to be focusing on Hermes Trismegistus, or Trismegistus. We're going to do an episode all about him, and that will either release that Sunday, or I might have a special guest on in talking about a special topic with worshipful brother Darren A. Lehners. So I'm hoping to be able to possibly record that while at Grand Lodge Sessions, while we're both in the room. I think it'll be a lot of fun. So that's it for this week. I want to thank you all for joining me on this incredible journey. If you want to know how you can assist the WCY podcast in producing excellent Masonic education for everybody interested, with over 560 episodes available all the time, head on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and check out your options. Additionally, I want to thank everybody out there who will be traveling to Greensboro, North Carolina, to check out MasonicCon South, and of course, a special little get-together where we're going to do the 400th recording of the Masonic Roundtable. It's going to be an epic event. We look forward to seeing you all there. And with that, I'll talk to you all next week. Stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.
WCY Media.
That's it. Okay, you're up.